Good morning, church. This morning, I'd like to welcome you. As I look at the screen and it's counting down from 1 minute, it made me think about a restroom sign that said, how long a minute is depends on which side of the bathroom door you're standing. As it felt like a long time. This morning, Devin Falk is going to be reading the scripture for us. If you want to turn to page 1167 in the Pew Bible. The sermon title this morning is Making Hay While the Sun's Shining. Well, sometimes when the hay is on the ground, you got to change your plans. So this morning, we're changing things up, we're moving it around, and we're going to have a good morning. So Devin, did you hear about the new corduroy pillows? They're really making headlines. All right, enough with the dad jokes. We're going to get started here. Devin's going to start us out. Page 1167.
I'm not sure. Is this on? Yeah. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, this great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out that this you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
Thank you, Devin. Would you like to open us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the scripture reading, Mike's message, our communion, and our offering today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Devin. Long scripture, very long scripture. I'm not the smartest man in the world. And when I picked my first sermon to preach, I just picked off the latest date. And then I thought I got smarter, and I picked off a better topic. And then I thought, this year I'm going to get smart, and I picked a topic that I liked, only I didn't look at the scripture. And then I didn't look to see the calendar, it was Father's Day. And afterwards, I was like, oh man, big mistakes. I'm like, next time I've got to do better. But this scripture, I'm going to kind of summarize it, and we're going to go into biblical duct tape. It's Father's Day, we're going to talk about some WD-40 zip ties, duct tape, and we're going to try and make this applicable. But in this time, and the reason I chose or asked if we could throw the service in a different order, because when Peter was preaching his sermon, which Devin preached his first sermon right there, the best one ever, 3,000 souls were saved, the people were hearing the languages speak in all different, their own languages. The earth was being shook. Everyone was gathering back there for the first feast, and Christ was back. He had just ascended a few days before. And so everybody was in turmoil. Everything was going on. And then these guys, Peter and these disciples, start talking. And everybody's hearing them. Thousands and thousands of people are hearing them. And they're saying, what are these signs? What are all these different things? And I'd like to say that if I was there in that day, I'd have said, oh, that was Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He died for forgiveness of my sins. But I would probably be one of those 3,000 people that were there clueless, didn't realize that that blood was Christ. The smoke, the sun going dark was all the different signs. And then the Holy Spirit being poured out, and everybody would start prophesying. And everybody would start, and we would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we receive today, and we have. And so that's kind of set up. It kind of made things a real jumbled mess, and it really brought everyone's attention in. Today, there's usually not a door in front of you, right? Not very often. But when you make hay, what is present with hay? Almost there's always a window of opportunity, correct? Wow, I'm glad you're there with me. So there's this window of opportunity. So today, if there's one thing you're going to remember from today, there's what? A window to share the gospel. There's going to be a window of opportunity you will have to share the gospel. So I put this here so that you would be focused and you would remember. If nothing else, you go, when I get in my car this week, man, there's a window of opportunity. I'm going to share Jesus with someone this week. And so as I was getting ready and I was preparing, and I said, oh man, it's Father's Day. I need to gear this towards fathers a little bit. And so then I started thinking, oh, how do I do this? And in Acts 2:38, and I'm not going to read it now, it's later in the scripture in my sermon, but it says there's this heritage of your children. And you receive, you're passing down what? Jesus to your children. That's where your heritage, their heritage is coming from you. So how do you become this man? And women can use the same principles. How do you use this to pass down? The first thing I came with, it's a 10-point sermon. There's 10 hay bales. The first one is prayer. A good dad prays for his children. 1 Chronicles 29:18. Says, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward prayer. So, King David, he prayed for his son Solomon. Children, no doubt, need to know that their children or their parents are praying for them. The question I have for a lot of you is, are you praying for your children on a regular basis? One of the biggest things when I was preparing for this for this past month, I felt extremely convicted. I felt horrible. I felt bad. As a father, I was like, man, How do you drop the ball so bad? Psalms 5:1 says, "Give ears to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry. My King and my God, for to you I pray, O Lord, in the morning, hear my voice. I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." James 5:15-16. "And a prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Are you a man who's always praying in all circumstances? I found this past month after reading this, I'm like, man, I really hope people are praying for me because I need it. I need it a lot. So there's your first principle, your first biblical duct tape, your first zip tie, your first WD-40. The second one is, are you a man of the Bible? Are you reading the Bible? Do you know the Word of God? Are those words hidden in your heart that they're going to come out? Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is a living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Do your children see you reading the Bible? Do you read the Bible with your children? I know one of my, I'm an emotional person, sorry. One of my favorite memories is driving to school with the kids. As much as I hate driving, riding to school, my wife suggested one day, "Why don't you read Proverbs?" So we started reading Proverbs. And that was my favorite part of every day. Drive to school, we'd read scripture, and we would say, "What do you think of that? What did that mean to you? What was your favorite part of this Proverbs?" So I would encourage you, read your Bible with your children, because they're going to see it, and they're going to grow. And it's going to, when you read the scripture, it is not going to return with no fruit. It's going to come back. There will be fruit. Your time you spend as a father, as a mother, reading scripture will be beneficial. There's no doubt. The third biblical duct tape is a good life. I put down good life because obedience, I thought, was really hard to spell out. And even though I didn't do it, I thought, good life is much simpler. If you look at it, you go, I can handle the good life. So good life is living your life in obedience to God. Does that mean that you never fall short, never sin, never screw up? No. You're going to screw up. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. All of us do. But are you trying to be in obedience? Duct tape came back, and you can blame this whole sermon on Blake if you want, because when he preached about duct tape, ever since, being in the Word of God has been on my phone. And every time I look at a piece of duct tape, I think, the Word of God, are you staying in the Word of God? Are you staying in your box? Are you being obedient? So if you don't like my sermon, blame it on Blake. So 2 Corinthians 3:2-6 says, "You yourselves are a letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ, through God, now that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of letters, but of the Spirit. For the letters kill, but the Spirit gives life." So in this scripture today, when you're reading through it, and hopefully you'll read through it this week, the long scripture, you're going to sit there and say, "Well, everything was turned up because they were coming in town for these religious feasts, Passover. Christ was crucified during Passover, which made all these Jewish people be wrong because they crucified someone, let alone Christ. And then 49 days later, you have their next religious holiday where all the Jewish men have to come back and register. And then he ascends a few days before that. Christ ascends. So here's this stir up. He's been around. Now he's ascended up. And then they're having the first feast. And then these men are preaching. And so this old covenant that said you had to dress certain ways, you had to do certain things, you had to show up and do all this, it's replaced by what? The new covenant, which is Jesus Christ. And no longer is it your religious activities. So that we preach our sermon first, does that make it wrong? No. If we have communion first or communion at the end, does that make it wrong? No. It's that Christ is the new covenant. And that is what we have to focus on. Scripture teaches us here that we talked about that we are letters from God. When our children are looking at us, we are a letter written. What are our children reading? And Malachi 4:6, it says, "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land and decree of utter destruction." There's an old expression, and I think it's even in the Bible somewhere, but I'm paraphrasing, so I'm not going to say it's Bible. Where your money is where your heart is. And then there's a saying, put your money where your mouth is. My question is your mouth and heart aligned? Are they aligned? So if that's aligned, you're also putting your money where that is. Now, the next set of scriptures coming up is going to be James 1, 19 through 25. And it's on the screen here. And I don't want anyone to fall asleep because I gave someone a rubber band shooter up in the balcony. And they're going to shoot you if you're falling asleep. So you're going to interact with us. We're going to all read this together. I'll start, follow in with me, and we'll go from there. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who intently at his face in mirror." I messed that up. "For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets that he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, who he will." Thank you. See, that's why you need to be there. That's why on the page, every hay bale has the scriptures on there, because I want to be held accountable so that when my words are messed up, you've got it there anyways. So the scripture's telling us what? Be a doer, not just a hearer of the word. Make sure that you're being faithful to God. I believe the next slide coming up is your children are going to imitate your faith, whether it is strong or weak, okay? And here's a slide, just be controversial, probably make people some upset or whatever. But there's a 0.02% chance your child will become a professional athlete, get them to church, Mark 9:2. There's 100% chance your child will stand before God, before Jesus. Okay? How are you living your life? Your children are your blessing. Your children are, in Acts 2:38, your heritage. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." The next one, probably the hardest one. Any guesses? I went to two of them yesterday. Husband. I think that that one is probably the hardest, at least for me. The scripture is going to show up here. It's going to show all Ephesians 5, but I'm just going to read starting at verse 25. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." When I read through that, I think, like, wow, failure, 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 okay? And I just thank God that my wife is patient over 18 years, and that hopefully maybe in another 18, I might get a little bit of this. But in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ in the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So I think one of the four foundations, your biblical duct tape, if you have your foundation, is right here. These four are the most important. But your children are going to see how you treat your wife, and then they're going to learn. Which brings you into the very next point, because you are your child's first teacher. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's our responsibility to train up your children as men. It's not your school. It's not the government. It's not the other people of the church. It's not just your wife. It's not grandma. It's not grandpa. It's not the babysitter. It's not the daycare center. It's you. You. You are the primary teacher of your household. Deuteronomy 6:5-9 says, "You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them on a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorpost of your house and your gates." Your children should be seeing the scripture, and they should be seeing you proclaiming the scripture, sharing the scripture, and the gospel clear out everywhere. They should be seeing you in action. They shouldn't be just seeing you sitting and doing nothing. A father is also to teach their children protection, how to protect their children. Whether it's saying, "Hey, don't run out on the state highway because that's really bad and your mom would be mad." Or, "Make sure you buckle that seatbelt as we jump across the little ramp." Okay? You're to protect your children and teach them. And a lot of that is teaching them what they need to know in the future. Whether it's about their spouses, how to date, sex, drugs, alcohol, all those topics that none of us want to talk about, speaking at least for myself. But yet as a father, we need to teach our children. Otherwise, who's going to teach your children? TV? Computer? Not probably the best things. The next thing that a dad is your responsibility is discipline. Need to discipline your children. The one who loves their children, Scripture says, is careful to discipline them. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but who loves him is diligent to discipline him. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't think it's fun to discipline children. They seem to hate you. They become teenagers. They hate you even more. You try to discipline one way, and it doesn't work. And you sit there, and you go like, oh, man, there is another chalk up to failure. But you're trying, and you're continually going through. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. And there's more scripture, and you can read that at home on your own because I don't want to go longer than I'm supposed to. But do not provoke your children. Your words, many of us, when we think of fathers, we may have actually hurt. It may not be a happy Father's Day. There's many of us that may have a lot of pain, a lot of hurts, that our dad wasn't there for us. Our dad didn't exhibit any of these things. But luckily, Jesus Christ does, and God, our ultimate role model, does. So even if our earthly father fell short, our heavenly Father is there. But we got to be careful with our words. And there's a picture coming up here in just a second, if you'll bring it up, that depicts the words and how our words go through. And our words can hurt. And so we have to be very, very careful about how we speak and what we say. We need to be a man who leads by example in our discipline. So we don't say, don't do this, and then we go do it. We also need to be a man that's disciplining gentle. We need to have a kind heart and be compassionate as we are there. We need to be disciplining our children. Hebrews 5:12 says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son which he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which you have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have the earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of the spirits of life? For they disciplined us short time, but it seemed the best to them. But he disciplines us for good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, let your drooping hands and strengthening your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. If you're not disciplining your children, you're not loving them. But the fruit of such loving discipline is a child that grows up and respects others and is living in obedience in society, for the most part, you hope. Number 7 is a provider for your family. Now, I think a provider for your family goes pretty deep. When I was thinking about that, I thought about there's some people that don't have work. And they could feel like, oh, I'm a complete failure. No, if you're trying to get your job, you're not a failure. You're trying to get there. You may not be able to provide everything that you think your children will need. The question is, are you truly giving your children the biblical duct tape that they do need? Command these things, 1 Timothy 5:8, command these things as well, so that you may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially the members of the household, he will be denied the faith worse than an unbeliever. We have to be careful about this one, because so many of us men in life, we lose picture. We get stuck on providing for our family. We say, man, I want to do this, or if I work these extra hours, I'll be able to do this for my children. My children will be able to take an extra vacation. My children will be able to play this travel sport. My children will be able to do this or that. But is that really what your children are needing? Or your children needing the man of the Bible? You got to be careful that you don't lose perspective and lose picture of the window. Your window of opportunity can be shattered. And in an instance, your chance to share the gospel is gone. Your children are growing. Your children moved on. And then you were stuck being a provider, trying to raise money, and you missed the opportunity. I'm sorry, Josh. Josh is truly going to hate me. Worse. but there's this, that window, and you don't want to miss it. And don't miss it by trying to provide financially for your children more than anything else. Because don't forget about the stability of a father that's there for them, that's teaching them, a father that's protecting their children and spending time at home with them. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Are we doing that? And then not only are we doing that, but are we doing it with compassion? I don't know that I'm very good with compassion sometimes. Clayton, my son, and I were struggling the other day, and I found myself getting out of the skid steer. And first thing I want to do is go, ah! So I chose his arm instead. And then we walked into the house. And I thought about what I was reaching. I said, nothing. That's quiet. And I waited and prayed until my mind, my mouth, and my heart were aligned. Because compassion does not come easy for this man. Not easy at all. That day, did I accomplish what I was trying? I don't know. Did I not lose my temper? Yes. Did we talk as he was eating food and would just keep eating and wouldn't respect me at all? And I took the food away from him. And we talked. And eventually I handed him the food. And then he wasn't eating. Do I think we connected somewhat? Yes. But were we there? No. But there's a compassion. Psalm 103:13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. As I was preparing for today, I was definitely fearful of the Lord. When I preach, I'm terrified because I know every word that I've said, I'll stand before God in judgment. And he'll say, "Oh, Mike, why did you do this?" But on the other hand, I know that Christ, who died for me, covers my sins. And so we have to make sure that we are trying to achieve what we are. I think there's another slide coming up, a picture slide. Begins with, "We serve a God who allows hurt, but also serve a God who uses hurt for good." We have to allow our children to fail. I don't know if any other fathers out there, it's like a struggle when your children fail. Does it make you like you want to just say, if you would just move their foot on the sheep in a little bit, the judge would see it and you would place better. If you would just bring your elbow in when you're shooting your free throw, you would make more of them. But at certain times, you have to allow your children to fail. But you have to be there with compassion to bring them back up. One of the biggest problems I think I see in society is we want our children to be perfect. And your children aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. We want them to be this perfect. stellar athlete. We want them to be a stellar student. They're going to fail. We've got to be there with compassion and with love so that they know, just like Christ does for us, that Christ's love for us is not dependent on whether we fail or not. It's not. And our love for our children needs to be whether they fail or do not fail. We don't need to love our children only when they have a success. We got to be very, very careful as fathers. And I don't want you to think I'm just pointing at you guys saying, oh, it's you guys and I do it right. No, I think every one of these points are there because I needed them. A success. Sometimes when you're working with your children, there's another picture up there that shows, and I think this depicts it pretty well. It's not always what you see. Some people may have this big growing plant. You look at their children, they're big, but then there's no fruit underneath. But then your children, you may be raising them in a godly life, and when the harvest comes, you're going to see this beautiful fruit, a harvest. So don't lose sight. Next point is PTC. Once again, because it's too many words to put the other up there. So PTC stands for, anybody ever heard it? Present time consciousness. Being present with your children when you're there. I asked my kids about a month and a half ago to fill out an evaluation of me as a father, and I said, will you fill this out for me? Because I just want to know how I'm doing. And my goal for you today is if you leave from here, don't try to be a 10 out of 10 dad. Try to be a 7 out of 10 dad. If you're a 7 out of 10 dad, you're going to be there for your children when they're hurting. You're going to be for your children when they're going through things. If you're a 10 out of 10 dad, you're the Walt Disney dad. You show up on the weekend and you take them and do this wonderful thing. You're never disciplining them. You're doing all this. Don't be a 10 out of 10 dad. Be a 7 out of 10 dad. I achieved that. Didn't go any higher. That's where I was at. It wasn't my purpose to be there, but that's where I ended up. So aim to be that 7 out of 10. But what my children told me is and taught me, present time consciousness. Be there with your children. Be a father who what? Listens. Listen to your children. Not to solve their problem. Not to tell them what they did wrong. But to understand their perspective. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk to them when you sit in your house. Okay? Sit, talk, listen to your children, hear their things. Be present. In the U.S., 39% of students live without a father in their home. Be there. Psalms 36:1-1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, very present, helpful in trouble. We're going to skip forward, skip a scripture, and you're going to move up to where you're going to see Snoopy. The question that Snoopy gives us is, we only live once, Snoopy. Wrong. We only die once. We live every day. Are you living every day with your children? The last one, so you don't leave totally beat down, as I felt this past month. Never give up. Never give up. God never gives up on you. Don't ever give up on your children. The story that came to my mind was Luke 15, and I'm not going to read it because I've run out of time, but it's the story of the prodigal son. It's in the sermon notes section. Take your time, read it. Don't give up. When you're feeling discouraged and you don't know how you're going to impact the kingdom to your children, there's a picture coming up, if you'll bring it up, that says, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. We don't have to have the answers as men of God. Our answers are in the Bible. Our answers are being obedient to him, and he will guide us. God will make a way. We just need to be in obedience, and we need to be encouraging. We need to be very careful that we encourage our children and that we're not beating them down. There's one more picture I want to show you. That we encourage our children. There's a scripture, and I skip through it, but it's in your notes. And if you read the Message version, I'm usually not a very big fan of the Message Bible because I think it distorts a lot of things. But in it, it says, do not crush the spirit of your children. So when your words are going, don't crush the spirit of your children. Encourage them. In a society where we're down on fathers, I can say that most of you men in here are probably better than 98% of them out there. But that doesn't mean that that's enough. Keep working, keep trying, keep sharing the gospel. Always be diligent to not miss that window of opportunity when you can share. And this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to accept him, this is the day. Don't wait. Don't depend on another week. You can make your way right back there to the beginning point right now. We're getting ready. We're going to have a barn burner. We're going to have some music and worship. We're going to have some excitement. So Blake is going to take us. Let's stand up and worship our King.